There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away. So it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, I'm Eric.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Casey.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening, y'all? Guess what? It is still the rut, even this time, right? We are doing rut podcast, and it makes me so hype, and I'm ready to get out and go hunt some ruddy bucks this afternoon. But before that, we have got some stuff to talk about, okay? Mike Hunsucker is the man, in case y'all didn't know, all right? Mike dadgum gets it done all the time. And guess what? We actually are privileged to like get to talk to Mike from time to time, right? Yep. What are we talking to Mike about, Tyler?
Well, let me just tell you, Mike convinced me to go hunting in late October in a certain spot, and it didn't work. So I'm clocking out of this one. Mike's got me hacked off at this point. Saw four deer in four hunts
and jackrabbit.
There you go. Now we're talking to Mike about decoying, which if anybody has watched any Heartland Bow Hunter, they know these guys go through decoys like it is raining money off the trees, man. I mean, they got these Dave Smiths out there just getting blown up into a million pieces, and they don't even care, man, because Dave just gives them another one.
That's right, man. All the while, Eric and I have Billy the Buck, and we can't get anybody to even sniff him.
Okay, but Billy the Buck causes them to run.
We have gotten some looks, at least. So I'm hoping that as the rut ramps up, we will continue on and maybe even get a good decoy encounter.
I'm surprised you let Billy's name be Billy.
Why is that?
I just know how you are against white man names for decoys and deer.
Oh, that's just how it happened, man. Because we had Blue Jean Danny.
Blue Jean Danny. And our Billy.
Yeah, that's how it happened, man. I don't know. I think I named him. So,
dang,
I know, dude.
It was on the run, too.
I know, it's Billy.
We're getting ready to move to the next spot, and you're like, I'm going to go grab Billy
right now. I think I named him that because I can, like, express frustrations. Ah, Billy! I kind of knew that was going to happen. So,
Billy Bad Buck.
Yeah, Billy Bad Buck. That's him. But we've had a lot of fun toting Billy around in all kinds of different places. Toted him last night.
Billy Toten.
And toted him in a half mile and then got there and said, this isn't a great place for a decoy. So I just shoved him up in some grass and didn't use him. I think that, I don't know, that really wasn't a good move or a bad move because we didn't see a deer that was worth using a decoy on that night anyways. But I think it would have been a good move in there because I don't think that you want to have a decoy set up in a spot that a deer is going to be 25 yards from it before it sees it, because that deer is going to turn a flip inside out and run away. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Even if it's a big, bad, mean buck. Like, they just don't like that stuff, right?
Man.
You actually had an encounter last year that when you killed your Kansas public land buck, which is on YouTube, by the way, guys, go watch that. Where you had a mature buck like get kind of like scared by this like 2 year old.
Yeah.
Just because
weird things.
He wasn't expecting aggression at that moment. Right? Yeah.
Man, what is going on in this box blind, right?
We're watching outdoor TV and there are four people inside of a box blind with two guns, it looks like.
Two guns, all wearing blaze,
that's
man.
That's right. It's all right, dude. As long as you got deer cast, you don't need anything else. You know, that's
deer cast and a gun.
According to these folks,
they got 14 does.
Golly, what is happening? I'm gonna shoot a 3 year old.
Okay, so that's probably going on out there somewhere right now. So I gotta get. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much decoys are not fun for me, but they have worked for Mike. I really do think that we're gonna end up shooting a decoy buck this year.
Well,
maybe soon. You know, guys are.
Maybe tonight.
We might.
We did a good job of scaring them yesterday. But
we almost killed one yesterday.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that. We had a drop time buck. Eric and I did hunting on the ground.
Yeah.
And he came in from a direction we didn't expect and ended up smelling us at like 60 yards. But
he was coming too.
He was ready.
That would have been so scary.
Yes. It was actually. It was already scary before anything even happened. But yeah. Eric said he could hear my breathing get heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's when you know. Yeah. Man.
It did it today too whenever we were on that buck.
Dude, I can see a big buck at distance and be okay, but as soon as that thing starts walking towards me,
it changes. Over. It changes things. Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope that somebody somewhere kills a deer over a decoy because dadgummit, isn't that fun, right?
Yep.
Maybe it's going to be one of us. Who knows? But yep. I think that some deer are about to start hitting the ground, and I think that we should talk to Mike about that to just get a little insight on what we should be doing with these decoy bucks. What do you think?
Sounds good. Okay, so now on the phone, we've got Michael Hunsucker from Heartland Bowhunter. He's been on the show a few times. He's talked about big bucks that he shot all over the country. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about decoying in particular, because you guys have had some really cool encounters. Of course, you guys shoot really, really high production stuff, so you've got super slow-mo, you know, crystal clear footage of some of these deer just, you know, some of these decoys just getting blasted. do you plan on using a decoy much this year, Mike?
Oh yeah. Actually, you already got my blood boiling just thinking about it. Like, it's right around the corner, man. It's like, it's hard to believe, but like, yeah, shoot, yeah. You can start. Actually had a guy yesterday asking me like, hey, you think it's too early to use a decoy? And, you know, it's earlier now, you know, October, middle October is a little bit earlier than I typically use them, but there's been instances in the past for sure when I've used them, you know, as early as middle of October.
Yeah. So are you, I guess when you start using them in middle October, are you using a buck decoy? And is it usually a challenge deal, or is it more just like, hey, I see that deer over there, I'm going to go see what it's doing?
Yeah, no, I exclusively use a buck decoy. I've never messed with a doe decoy much. Just haven't had, never did have good results. But you know, when I've used a decoy this early, it's usually been when you have a really mature buck that is just a bully that's super aggressive and like running, you know, when I've visually seen a buck run other bucks off of a food plot, this time of year, cause they're just starting to get swelled up a little bit. They're starting to lay down some scrapes and they're just, you know, they're not battling it out by any means. But, like if you have a large food plot and you got a buck that's, you know, territorial, it's not really willing to come in the bow range very easily. I've definitely used them in that scenario.
Yeah. So why, you know, going forward after middle October and into November and stuff, you know, I think that things may change a little bit. Obviously, the demeanor of the deer gets more and more mean and bully. But, you know, why do you use a decoy? Like, what makes you go, okay, well, instead of just getting in between deer bedding and food or whatever, however I'm hunting these deer, like, what makes you just go, man, a decoy would be a great idea? Is it usually that you're seeing that deer, you know, be a bully, or is it just the time of year sometimes, or what is it?
I mean, yeah, usually it's the time of year, number one, and then also number two is probably to get the deer within bow range. So a lot of times, I tell people all the time, like, I use a decoy a lot of situations where I would never hunt the stand without a decoy, like, almost in the middle of nowhere, you know what I mean? Like, you're off the main travel way, you're off the beaten path, and it's more of like what I would call like an observation stand, where I like to do that a lot of times hunting a new property or just trying to learn about an area, you know, set up a spot where you're off the off the beaten path, you have great visibility and see a ways, and you can observe deer movement. That's a situation when a decoy is perfect, because it's a spot when otherwise the deer are going to, you know, fully commit and come in to bow range likely.
Yeah. So that's, so have you had issues where like a deer has popped out real close to your decoy and gotten real freaked out?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't like using decoys in close quarters for sure. Because yeah, you don't want to startle a deer. You want a deer to be able to see that decoy, know it's there, from a distance for sure.
Yeah. So, okay. So, as we get more into the rut, you know, like early November or even later in November, how do you, or like, you know, when do you know it's a good time to use a decoy, or do you even use one in late November?
Yeah, I mean, I'll use them whenever, you know, throughout from starting middle of October occasionally and all the way through, you know, Thanksgiving really. And, it kind of comes and goes. I mean, obviously, you know, the rut's kicking and, the bucks are aggressive and fighting. And obviously there'll be times when they're going to be more susceptible to come to a decoy. Like, you know, early November when the first few does are coming to heat, competition's at an all time high, you know, and then also towards the tail end, maybe when there's only a few does in heat on the tail end of the rut. But, yeah, I mean, I use them off and on throughout the month. It's more of a scenario thing for me, I think, than it is a set strategy time frame wise.
Sure.
What about time of day? Is there any difference morning, evening, midday that you really like to have one out there?
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that the time of day really matters. I've used them in the morning with success and in the evening with success both. I don't know the time of day really matters. It really, all that matters is if you catch a buck in the right mood with the right mindset. That's really all that matters. So yeah. It's almost like turkey hunting, you know, when you get a gobbler that sees the other strutter decoy and he's like, you know, you got one or two things are going to happen. He's either going to be scared and not come in, or he's going to be pissed and come fight. And so, you know, it's just, you got to catch him in the right mind frame. But, another thing too, is just like, people complain about all the time is like, oh my gosh, like decoys are so heavy, they're loud, they're bulky, and they, you know, they are. So, you got to just commit to it, and you got to just like, you know, be devoted to it, because it is a little bit more work. But, you know, we're used to carrying so much gear in anyways. Like,
yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. You know? That's right. You got a BO camera. You know? Big, you know, yeah. Not a difference. You know, that's what I was going to say.
A lot of times, like, we'll even like, you know, we got like an electric buggy and, up on the farm. And so sometimes like, if it's like a spot we're going to hunt in the afternoon, we can get in easily without disturbing stuff with the buggy. Like we might go drop it off, you know, with the buggy and then walk in or whatever.
Yeah. That's pretty sharp.
I've got it down, man. I got that. I throw that Dave Smith over my shoulders and just carry it on down. And it's heavier than most decoys, but it is by far the most realistic decoy that's available. I mean, it's legit.
It's because you're a marathon runner these days, so you just, you know, you're in plenty good enough shape to carry that thing around.
That's right. I consider it a workout.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say, too. It sounds like the frequency of use is going to be really important when you're decoy hunting. You know, you can't just give it one shot and be like, that doesn't work. You know, it's just like you're saying, elk or turkey, every single deer is different. So,
For sure.
Yeah, they have to kind of push their buttons.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can you got to just really analyze the situation and see what makes the most sense. I mean, there's times when I got a buck that's, you know, visiting and frequenting a food plot, and he's been there pretty regular, but like there's a lot of other deer, and like in those scenarios, I'm not a big fan of using the decoy, because you know, if you guys have used decoys before, a lot of times the does just don't like that the decoy isn't moving. It's just sitting there still, and they'll get nervous and they'll stomp and they'll blow. And so in situations, I mean, the ideal situation is the first deer that sees your decoy is the buck you're trying to kill. Because other deer just get curiosity gets the best of them. But so like in those situations where there's high deer densities in tight enclosed areas, like not ideal. Mm-hmm. My favorite place to use a decoy is by far Western Kansas, where I hunt, which is very wide open, very high buck to doe ratio, low deer density numbers. Just an ideal situation for using the decoy. I'm always out there in the middle of November.
Yeah.
And so that's my favorite area, but probably the place I've had the most success with the decoy, would be, well, my home state of Missouri and then Iowa, Southern Iowa. So both areas with really high deer densities. So a little bit different contrast to Kansas. But I've used them in situations, like I said, where, I wasn't going to encounter a ton of deer. And I was hoping to see the buck sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So let's talk about the actual, I guess, setup of decoy hunting. I'm sure, I mean, Tyler and I, of course, have experimented with some, but not had a lot of success. But there is kind of a basic idea of like the way you, you know, point the decoy and that sort of thing. And then does that matter, you know, if you're ground hunting versus in the tree?
Yeah, yeah. So there's no rule that works all across the board. I mean, every deer is a little bit different on how they approach the decoy, but most of the deer are going to circle downwind of the decoy. So I used to initially would put the decoy, you know, at like 20 yards. I was like thinking, okay, I want the deer to come to the decoy 20 yards. I want to shoot him at 20 yards. That'd be perfect. Well, you know, a lot of times they circle downwind, and if you put it at 20 yards, they may circle behind you and catch your wind. And so typically what I'll do is put the decoy about 25 or 30-ish, and I quarter it to me. That way, you know, basically you have an idea of where the deer are coming from. I like to face it away from where you think the deer is going to come and quarter it to me. That way, when they circle around downwind, they typically will approach the head of the decoy to fight. And so if the decoy is quartered to me, the buck should be quartered away and offer a good shot and then at least be broadside, you know, coming through to circle into the decoy. So like I said, there's always exceptions to the rule. Sometimes for whatever reason, the bucks will come up and, you know, sniff them right on the butt. And that'll be those are the situations where the deer is usually not as aggressive. So, I mean, if it's, mm-hmm. if it's the big mature buck that's kind of running that area, most of the time they're coming in head on to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So,
one thing worth noting is if they're circling in downwind and they're all completely bristled up, fully committed, like they're not going to stop. And I've been guilty of this in the past and seen the consequences, but like, don't even try to stop them. Like I don't like shooting walking deer at all, but like usually they're walking so slow, so stiff legged, like don't rely on you trying to get them to stop. I mean, I've yelled at them. I mean, they just are so mad. They're so fired up. They're not stopping. And I've had them plow the decoy over. And fortunately two deer I've killed over decoy have both blown the decoy to pieces and have luckily either ran off and like circled back in to check things out or just like, one of them came closer to me and stopped right underneath my tree, and I was able to shoot him. So,
how often do they feel like they won the fight versus they just kind of like, what the heck just happened? Whenever that happens,
yeah, I think it's more of just like they're just proud of themselves. Like, dang, I just did that. Yeah, like, what's up, boy?
It's funny.
Yeah,
it's like whenever you give your buddy a chest bump, and you can definitely tell that you know you got him on that one. You know, you're like, oh yeah, what's up, bro? Yeah. So in that note, like, what if a deer comes in that you don't intend to shoot, and he does knock your decoy over? Is it worth like getting down out of the tree and going setting that thing up, or do you feel like you're just kind of buggering things up too much at that point?
Yeah, no, I definitely try to get it down and set it back up. Actually, happened to me. A couple years ago in Iowa, had a really nice buck that I was really borderline, you know, wanting to shoot, but he looked like a little bit younger deer, and he blew it up. So I climbed down there, set it back up, and then, of course, too, you know, I've had offer situations where, you know, the wind picks up, blows real hard, and will blow the decoy over. You got to get down, set it back up, and so there's definitely obstacles with using the decoy, and it definitely is more work. But I'm telling you, if you have one hunt where it works and all comes together, it's like, wow, every failed hunt, every, you know, extra time spent dragging one in has been worth it for sure.
That's awesome, dude. That pumps me up because we just bought a full body decoy. But another question I had, I guess, real quick before we wrap this up is, do you always put the ears back? Cause I'm thinking about a particular situation where, we've got like a little brush pile that we've actually had a buck locked down with a doe in before in this particular spot that we're maybe going to use this decoy this year. And I'm looking at it like, well, should we put it to where the deer is like focused on this, this brush pile, you know, and should his ears be laid back in that case or not? And do you always do that? How does that look for you?
Yeah, no, that's good. Really good point. Actually. The DSD, decoy, his ears are stuck in the pin back position, or they can only go on in the pin back position. Mm-hmm. I definitely see your point there. And actually that's something I forgot to touch on is I told you I like to face the deer away from where I expect the buck to come from, but I always like to face the deer towards some sort of cover because the idea is, you know, like you said, hopefully this buck, you know, has a doe locked down and the buck's going to come fight. And mm-hmm. I actually know people that have used decoys in unison, like a buck with a bedded doe decoy. I don't, like I said, want to haul even more stuff. So typically I just, face them towards cover to where, you know, you want the buck to think there's a bedded doe. So in that scenario, I wouldn't be opposed to, using the, you know, ears forward type deal. Like he's kind of looking at the brush, listening. But, you know, I don't really know how much it matters. Like I said, if they like see that buck and they get mad, then I don't know that it matters.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. They get a little bit out of mind at that point, I guess, but that's awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us talking about decoys and that kind of thing. What do you got going on this year that, our audience should check out, man?
Oh man. So yeah, we just wrapped up season 14 of the show. Just got done airing on Outdoor Channel. So we're filming for the new season, but we actually are releasing our newest season of Behind the Draw on YouTube, on Instagram TV, and on Facebook. So we have new episodes coming out every week online. So the best way is just kind of keep up on through one of those channels, digital channels. So
awesome. Awesome.
Other than that, we got guys hunting all over the place right now. I'm in Missouri, still trying to catch up with the buck I've been playing cat and mouse with for a long time, and getting ready to head to the stand here shortly.
Well, good luck with that, man. That's exciting. Thanks for coming on again, dude, and we'll link to that in the show notes below if anybody wants to check that out. We appreciate it, Mike, and good luck this season, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
See you.
Dude, something about Mike, he's kind of a cool character. And he's slightly inspiring. You know what I mean? A little bit. Like,
just slightly.
He has killed some stuff doing this. And it makes you feel like you can do it.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do it.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, I can definitely do it. If you're talking about scaring a deer with a decoy.
We've done it.
Yep. We have done it.
Recently.
But, dude, it's going to happen one day, and it's going to be one of the coolest things you've ever seen. Man.
I know it, man. I just don't know if I'm willing to spook 38 deer in the process, but I'm going to give it a shot because I feel like it can work.
Yeah.
Guys, if you... Let me ask you a question. Do y'all like bucks?
Yes.
Because if you like bucks, you would like the Element YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of bucks are hitting the ground right now. Woo. We did the buck trifecta in South Dakota. There's a Nebraska buck as well. And some crazy buck action as well from some Texas public. So
even a doe that turned into a buck. Like,
dude,
magically.
What?
You know, I know you don't believe in magic, but like.
When did that happen?
It was crazy, man. It was, and whenever it hit the ground, it turned into a buck.
Oh, that is right. That is right. That is from a special guest that you will see on the channel. Who is loosely associated with the Element. Just kidding, Chad. We love you. Anyways, go check out the channel, guys, because it's the place to be right now. If you are getting itchy about hunting and you haven't got to go out because it's midweek and the rut is popping this weekend, guess what? You can go watch a 12-minute video of somebody smoking a buck on the Element YouTube channel. If you're listening on the first week of November, there are two bucks from South Dakota that go down. So go watch the channel. Go subscribe while you're there. And, guys, let's just say this, all right? We look forward to this time of year so much. Don't wish it away too quick. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Whenever you've got something right in front of you today, you can enjoy.
That's right.
I think it's good to have a plan. It's good to be always thinking about the next move. And absolutely, I do that as much as possible. But take time. Enjoy those sunrises and sunsets, because not a lot of people are out in the wild at the right time of day to see all that stuff, and we are blessed to be able to do it. So remember to do that, and remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
Smooth.
Smooth.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona, April 24, the Balboa Theater in San Diego, April 25, the Grove in Anaheim, California, April 27, the Crest Theater in Sacramento, April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City, April 30, the Egyptian in Boise, May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula, May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington, May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon, and May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.